You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The 2018 census showed that the percentage of people not born in New Zealand was 27.4%, an increase from 25.2% from the 2013 census. The census in 2018 also showed that the biggest increase in ethnic group is the Asian population. The Super Diversity Institute for Law, Policy and Business released a report this morning on the cultural and language barriers the Chinese community experiences in the litigation process in senior courts, the difficulties in matching interpreters with clients, and discrimination felt by Asian lawyers. I spoke to a lawyer and author of the report, Mai Chen, on her findings and her recommendations to address this issue. I begin by asking her what has led up to this report being published.
It's clear there was some noise at the coalface, with quite a significant number of Chinese parties in particular turning up in the senior courts. I think the High Court in particular, but I think it's become an issue also in the District Court and, you know, in the Family Court and in the Employment Authority. I think it's become an increasing issue, as not surprisingly the number of super diverse people living in New Zealand has increased, and that's been confirmed by Census 2018. That makes it clear that the number of people not born in this country has increased. I think it's gone up from 25% to 28%.
What are some of the difficulties these groups experience?
Well, they're culturally and linguistically diverse, so that means that they may have English capability issues, and of course courts are all about communication, so if English is not your first language, then that makes it significantly more difficult. But it's not just about English capability, it's also about the fact that you might have come from a very different legal culture, and also a very different culture in terms of the way that business is done. As you know, New Zealand's number one on the Transparency International Index. But some of the countries from which migrants come to live in this country are not as well placed on that index. So what that means is that quite often when they're confronted with going to court, they are bringing their presumptions from their home countries. They don't necessarily know how the legal system in New Zealand works. Now, they aren't alone. Most New Zealanders don't really understand how their legal system works either. But having said that, it's much easier, obviously, if you're from here, because you'll have grown up, I think, with different assumptions and better knowledge of how it is that in our culture you are supposed to put yourself in court.
Are there adequate support for migrants, so such as the role of interpreters?
There are interpreters available. In the criminal system, there is a better setup than there is in civil cases. In civil cases, you're supposed to get your own interpreter, and so, of course, you tend to get the cheapest one. That doesn't necessarily mean that will result in quality interpretation. I think the issue has to do with the fact that we need a proper system where interpreters are properly qualified, and that they are well paid, and that the preparation includes to have a review of the documents prior to going in to interpret on a case. It isn't easy to interpret, and so you can't just grab somebody off the street who happens to speak the lingo. It is important to have people who are properly qualified and who are properly trained to do the role. That's, of course, interpreting oral evidence, and then, of course, the ability to translate written documentation is a different skill, again, let alone the need also for courts to get cultural guidance about why it is the people that are turning up before the courts do what they do.
I was having a quick read through the report, and you mentioned some cultural differences such as guanxi and mianzi. Do you mind explaining a little bit what those concepts are?
Sure. I think everybody understands the culture of big face. I think that is probably more commonly known to those people who are not Chinese. But it is about status, and it is about the way you are perceived and respected by others. So the result is that may have an impact on how or if you show remorse or don't show remorse. It may have an impact on whether or not you plead guilty or not. It may have an impact on whether you settle a case or don't settle a case. It's just important for us to understand that the way that people respond to a particular situation in court may be impacted by the culture from which they come. And even if we can just give visibility to that one point so we don't overlay our own cultural assumptions over the top of that, it matters. It matters because Otherwise, we end up with miscarriage of justice. We end up with judges not necessarily understanding what the parties are doing. It's important in terms of judges determining credibility and mens rea, i.e. what was your intent in doing that. But most importantly, it's really for the lawyers who represent these culturally and linguistically diverse parties to explain to the judge what is going on, as opposed to just leaving the judge to it. Remember, this just happens to be a Chinese case study, but of course it's all culturally and linguistically diverse peoples, and there are many of them residing in New Zealand.
Beyond the experience of litigants, is discrimination in court felt by jurors, by lawyers themselves?
Look, some of the people that we interviewed who are culturally and linguistically diverse lawyers have said, look, it's much harder if you're not from here. Judges find it difficult to understand accents. Well, to be honest, sometimes I find it difficult to understand accents. So it is difficult because ultimately court is a forum for communication. So not surprisingly, if you have an accent, it is harder for people to understand. The issue here, though, is to ensure that people are treated equally and fairly, regardless of where they are from. And so it is important to make sure that judges and judicial officers and those who work in the courts don't discriminate against people on the basis of ethnicity. I have had anecdotal evidence provided in interviews where some Asian lawyers have said, well, actually my clients decided to hire a Pākehā, Kiwi, European, New Zealander lawyer because they thought they would be discriminated against less. So I think it's important for everyone just to be aware that on the one hand there are some issues here and challenges. There's no doubt that representing someone who is culturally and linguistically diverse is harder. But on the other hand, we have a rule of law system that says that all should obtain equal access to justice, and we need to make sure that that happens.
I was also particularly intrigued by the discussion around the reasonable person test, because I guess there's a bit of criticism there that it doesn't quite reflect the cultural linguistic diversity that might be in a community.
Well, the difficulty is that when we look at that reasonable person, well, it used to be the reasonable man on the Clapham omnibus, that seems a long way away from where we are now, particularly in Auckland. I mean, if you were running a bus down Queen Street, half that bus would be super diverse, or they'd be tangata whenua. So the reality is whether the reasonable person, their values, what they would consider to be shocking, offensive, not offensive, what is reasonable for that person to do or think, needs to be considered, maybe adapted, maybe evolved. Because the reality is that we aren't the peoples we were. New Zealand has changed. It has demographically transformed. And so the question is whether judges who are creating and developing the common law ultimately are doing that for the people who come to get justice before the courts. And it's important that they do keep up to date and are reflective of the actual people that they are making decisions about.
What are some of the recommendations you make in response to these differences and struggles and challenges that super diverse people may face in courts?
Yes, well, we've made over 30 recommendations, but I think the critical ones are that lawyers, I think, need to be more attuned to the need to bring information that is relevant about their clients to the attention of judges. Where are they from? How long have they been in New Zealand? Did they arrive as adults? What is their English capability? What is their cultural comprehension? For judges, I think it's very important that we have a good enhanced pretrial process so that judges can ensure that if there are going to be interpreters involved, then they make sure that the interpreter is appropriate. Just because you get somebody from Singapore who speaks Mandarin, who could in theory translate for a deponent or a party that is a Mandarin speaker, doesn't necessarily mean they're a good fit. If that person is from rural China, they may need somebody also from that region who has a better understanding of the cultural idioms of that area and the accents I find it sometimes quite difficult to understand Mandarin from people from rural China, simply because their accent is very, very different, and that the sorts of slang or words they use is different. And also to ensure that the parties that are called culturally and linguistically diverse do actually understand what is going on, to give the judge time to explain all of that. I think it's also really important that we put in a proper system for interpreters. At the moment, we don't collect data, we don't have a system, you don't need to be qualified. The pay rates are very low. The pay rates haven't been increased since 1996. So the reality is that we are going to need more interpreters, not less interpreters. That's what the data shows. And what we can't have is a situation where we just have miscarriages of justice, because what is translated is not actually what the culturally and linguistically diverse parties said.
Is there a difference in the amount of, for example, Asian lawyers we see in criminal law, practicing criminal law, compared to commercial law?
It's interesting. The anecdote is that Asian lawyers tend to not practice criminal law because, once again, it's partly a big face thing, and it's also partly because parents play a much bigger role in determining what their children do as a profession. There's a view that in terms of big face, commercial law, for example, might be seen as a much better profession than criminal law. And so it is important that we encourage Asian lawyers to become and to stay being criminal lawyers. We do not currently in this country have any judges that I know of that are Chinese, ethnically Chinese, or that speak Mandarin. So given the significant increase in the number of Asians in this country, we do have one Indian judge in the Manukau District Court, but that's all. It is important for us to ensure that the judiciary does reflect the population. At the end of the day, the courts are held in high regard, and they have mana with the people of New Zealand because they reflect us. If the court continues to reflect less and less the people that it is making decisions, judicial decisions about, then that may result in a lessening of confidence and trust and respect for the judiciary.
I don't know, and frankly the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire. You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.